Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to episode 252 of Geek Town Radio. I'm back this week with Gray.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Dave.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thank you very much.
Good, good. You're surviving your lockdown experience. Now we've just started to be kind of coming out.
Yeah, I mean, I've obviously still been working. I know I chatted to you at the very early stage of lockdown around Easter, and I was sort of getting used to it, and work was really busy, so I wasn't watching as much. I also had my 20-year-old niece with me.
Yes,
who was she was at university in Loughborough. But so she went back to do her exams, even though the university's not open. She just went back to her house where she has a place so she could study, which gave me the remote control back. So I suppose that little bit of loss back on my own again gave me more time to properly sit down. I've even done a couple of podcasts. With Matt recently over the last month, which has been really good because I've had lots to say. But I've also been watching loads as well. So I won't rattle on too much about them because we could be here just all day just talking about what I've watched in the last month. So let's see, what did I finish? I finished Normal People on iPlayer.
Yes, I watched the first episode. Or first couple of episodes of that. It's not really my sort of show, but there is a fascinating interview that we did with the sound design guy, which is up on the Behind the Scenes podcast. And it just generally, if you're interested in sound design for TV, it's well worth listening to that because he was brilliant. So, I mean, not really my sort of show, but the background stuff I found absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, really. I mean, obviously I work in mental health, so there was a huge underlying plot line with that male mental health and how that is represented on screen. And it was done really well, so I watched it. I persevered there. The pacing was a little slow at the start, but it really does build into a really decent story towards the end, so I really enjoyed that. I binged Dead to Me.
That was pretty much done
in 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah,
I think there should be a season three.
Yes, I think there will be a season three. I think it's very likely to come back again, but I thoroughly enjoyed that. Yeah. I think we said when I got to the end of it, there were points where I think they could have tweaked that ending to bring it to a close if they were going to bring it to a close, but they clearly set things up for a third season. So yeah, I think it's definitely very, very likely to come back.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed that as well. I thought there were some really good twists, and how they took the story in that direction was pretty good.
Yeah.
I reignited my Amazon account. Well, I already had the Amazon account, but when my niece went off and I had complete control, I went onto Amazon and I'd heard some discussions about Upload.
Yes.
And I found myself, I watched that in 2 days. So I absolutely loved it. I don't know what it was about. I know I had some preferences to that over The Good Place in some points. I thought there was some good management of the storyline and the idea, and I thought it was really fresh and original. I've seen lots of comparisons to The Good Place, but I liked it, and I really was happy when I saw that it had been already rewarded a second season, so I would definitely tune into that again.
Yes, I really enjoyed that series because it has a similar kind of idea to The Good Place in that it's dealing with a sort of afterlife, although in this case it's a virtual afterlife. I think Robbie Amell is incredibly watchable. I think it's really well written. And of course, it's done by one of the guys who was involved with Mike Saw, who did The Good Place as well. So there is a sort of connection. How it's weird how they both ended up doing kind of afterlife dramas, but it's or comedies. But I thoroughly enjoyed that. And I'm so happy it's coming back for another season because I think they did a wonderful, wonderful job with it.
Yeah. I finished Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. That's one of the podcasts I recorded with Matt.
Yes.
And I still think we're sitting here now, aren't we? It's still on the bubble. It's still not confirmed, not cancelled. It's still one of those that NBC haven't properly decided yet whether they're taken forward.
There are quite a few shows that NBC still haven't actually decided on yet, so I wouldn't be overly concerned. I think out of the ones that are left, it's one of the more likely ones to get renewed because it has a very, very positive reaction. And I think it's probably going to get picked up again, but we're still waiting to officially hear one way or the other on that. But I think it's probably going to end up coming back.
No, I really enjoyed that. And then I finished a few other ones. So I finished the final season of Schitt's Creek. Quite satisfying. Have you ever watched that, Dave?
I haven't. No, it's one that's bypassed me, that.
Yeah, it is a very funny, like, top. I really enjoyed it. I watched the documentary afterwards as well, and it was fascinating to see how they sort of as a cast came together and created this program, which I thought was really nice. I finished Run on Now TV, which I was cross with. Episode, yeah. I loved episodes 1 to 6. And then episode 7, I just was really disappointed with that. It was like a 20-minute episode, the last episode. And I just sort of like, well, I feel there's a little bit of me that feels it's unresolved.
Right.
There's a little bit more that I wanted, but maybe that's me just being needy.
I haven't gone back to it yet. I watched the first episode of it and quite enjoyed it, and then didn't get back to the rest of it. So I will go back and finish watching it at some point, so I can let you know what I think. But
well, when Matt's back from his little break, I might pick his brain about what he thought of it as well, because there was this little bit that dissatisfied me.
Right.
And a couple of others I finished: Never Have I Ever on Netflix, and Modern Family, the final season of that. So I really have been ploughing through the completed seasons, and some of them obviously are not coming back. So Schitt's Creek, that was the last one, and Modern Family, that was the last one as well.
Good.
I am watching too many programs at the moment. I obviously, on every platform that I have available, I'm checking in to see each episode. And so Hollywood, I'm on episode 6 of 7.
Right.
Emergence, I'm on episode 4. 9-1-1 obviously came back 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Killing Eve, the final episode was released yesterday, Monday, so I'll finish that this week. Little Fires Everywhere, I'm on episode 3, and all the Arrowverse are slowly coming down. But I know there are 3 that I'll talk about in a moment, because I know that you're watching them as well. So
yes.
I'll chat with them. I'll chat to you about them rather than me go on about it now. And then film wise, I, with my niece here, we binged the chronological order of MCU.
Right.
And we basically finished the last one the day before she decided to go back to university. So I had an emotional Endgame episode. We didn't quite get Spider-Man because we didn't have access to it, but you know, we watched Endgame, and it was good. I loved it again, and you know, I can see myself doing that again in the future. And in my fascination to when I was about to start watching the TV show Snowpiercer, I was aware that the original film version was finally released, so I went onto Amazon and I watched that before I watched the TV program, because it's something for many years has always fascinated me. I've read loads on it about the problems they had releasing it to the UK and it never getting into cinemas or DVDs. So I watched that, and then literally a couple of hours later, I then started watching the TV program. And I also, for the first time, very late to the party, watched the film Rocket Man at the weekend, which I loved. I absolutely loved it. And I'm so gutted I didn't get to the cinema to see it now, because it was one I wanted to see but never really got around to doing it. But then I watched it, I was like, oh, I'm gutted I didn't properly go and see that. So that is loads, and there are others I could talk about, but Dave, I want to hear about what you're talking about, because I think I can input to the 3 programs.
Yeah, well, Snowpiercer I also watched. There's a couple of episodes into that now, because they released 2 on the first, so he did 3 episodes out. Well, there's 4 actually now, because isn't there another one dropped today? So I've seen the first 3 episodes of it. I knew the film was out, and I decided not to go and watch the movie for the similar sort of reasons that you did, because I knew the TV show was coming, and I kind of thought, well, I don't want to go and watch the film because it may cover some of the same ground, so I'm going to leave the film alone for now and I'm going to watch the TV series instead. I'm really enjoying the TV show. I thought it was reasonably well put together. I interviewed the set designer for it, who is a lovely, lovely guy. That interview is now up on the Behind the Scenes podcast as well, if you want to know a bit more about how they put things together for Snowpiercer. It's nicely acted. It's nice to see, what's the guy's name? David Diggs. It's nice to see David Diggs in there, who was probably best known for Hamilton before this. So it was nice to see him on there. And I think he's great as a lead. But I'm quite enjoying it. I love the concept behind it. This idea of the wall kind of basically being stuck on a train. It's really interesting how they manage to keep the action moving, despite the fact that you are very, very restricted in the space that you can use, because the entire thing is set on a train. So everything's got to be done in an area which is like, you know, the length of a train carriage, essentially, or a couple of train carriages. So I thought they've handled that really well. It works incredibly well. I'm really quite enjoying it. What are your thoughts?
I really want to see where it goes. I like their little plot twist about Jennifer Connelly. I won't say any more than that in people haven't watched it. So Jennifer Connelly is obviously one of the main stars next to David Diggs. And they've sort of twisted the plot a little bit from the film to make it work. And I actually like that, because that gives it the longevity to turn into a series. I think as soon as I turn the movie off, I was like, how are they going to make that into a TV program? And then watching that first episode and seeing that little twist, I was like, oh, actually, that's a really clever idea. And how they're going to make it, they've got some procedural elements in there as well, which you can see work. I'm fascinated. I can't wait to watch the next episodes. I think I've only watched one and two. And I kind of, as much as binging is the new thing, I sometimes am more reassured when a program drops weekly, because it doesn't put the pressure on me to have to know everything when you're having a conversation with someone. So I know that drops weekly, like Killing Eve, and so I can catch up with it. But no, I'm really enjoying it. Again, really inspiring. I can see where they're going with it. They've added carriages onto the train. That's not really a spoiler. So they quite openly say in a TV program, 1,001 carriages. Yeah. I don't think there are 1,001 in the film. But that just gives you the idea of how long this can possibly go for. But then my stupid logical brain is like, wow, she gets from the front to the back very quickly. I mean, if you imagine trying to walk through 1,001 train carriages now, that's going to take a while.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they do have, there is a sort of underground kind of train system, like mini train system, that there's like a tram thing that runs under the length of the train, which they show in one of those earlier episodes. So there is a legitimate way of kind of getting around it. But yeah, I like the casting and the way it's been put together. I'm really interested to see where they go with it. And I mean, there are some procedural elements in there, like you say. I think you've got to make tweaks and changes to the original plot if you're going to be able to make an entire series about it and something that has legs. And the TV show, I think, if I remember correctly, yes, has already been renewed for a second season anyway. Ah, so
there you go. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that. That's on Netflix right now and coming out weekly, because it airs on TNT in the US. Space Force, I've also watched, which is also on Netflix. Just wonderfully silly. It's Steve Carell in the lead role as the commander of Space Force. As mentioned before, the whole way of this coming together, it was very strange, because it was an idea that, it was when Trump announced that they were going to do Space Force, they were laughing about it in the Netflix office, and then somebody said that would make a great TV show, and they rang Steve Carell and said, would you want to make a TV show about that? And he said, yes, okay. Then he rang Greg Daniels and said, do you want to make a TV show about Space Force? And he said, oh yeah, that'll make a funny idea. And then they worked back the show from there. So it was sort of pitched backwards rather than them pitching it to Netflix. Netflix pitched it to the director or the showrunners. So I thought this was really good. It starts off a little bit slow, and I wasn't entirely sure after the first episode, but I think it starts to find its feet a couple of episodes in and just gets funnier and sillier. And I'm really enjoying it. It's a very, very funny setup, I think.
Yeah, I'm on episode two, full disclosure. So I've just watched the episode that involves the monkey in space.
Yes.
And I really enjoyed episode one, and there are so many intriguing things, like some of the actors around the table at the start episode, who are all the commanders in chief, and then the complexity about having his wife, who's played by the brilliant Lisa Kudrow. There's obviously lots more that I want to learn about there. But as I said, I'm only in episode two, but I will be persevering with this. It'll take me a while because it's not a weekly. It's all there. So I'm sometimes take a bit of time. But no, I am enjoying it. I think it's quite good coming from, you know, all the other space dramas, which I don't normally watch, or space comedies that I don't normally engage with. I'm just sort of trying to, you know, is this as good as the Hugh Laurie one, which obviously just finished Avenue 5?
Yeah.
Avenue 5, that frustrated me towards the end. So, you know, I'll give you my opinion in a few weeks, Dave.
Yeah, Avenue 5 had issues and wasn't, I think, as good as the talent involved should have made it. And hopefully they sort that out in the second season. I'm really enjoying Space Force. It's just very funny and very silly. Jimmy O Yang, I think, is great as well from Silicon Valley. He's playing one of the main scientists, and I really enjoy him in it. Steve Carell's great. And it's, of course, John Malkovich, he plays his beleaguered scientist and second in command. He's brilliant in it as well. So it's really fun, and I'm thoroughly enjoying that. And I've got a couple of episodes left in that, so it's well worth watching. The other thing that I've started watching this week, and I'm only one episode into it at the moment, I haven't got that far, is McMillions, which is on the new Sky Documentaries channel. And it's such a ridiculously weird story. The basic setup for it is, if you remember the Monopoly game that McDonald's used to run, somebody figures out that all the winners for the Monopoly game seemingly are connected in some way. And there appears to be some sort of scam going on, but they're not entirely sure who's involved, and they're not entirely sure how it's being done. So the FBI are trying to work that out. And that's basically what you're following, is the FBI team that we're trying to figure out how this happened. And this was sort of way back in the 90s. Because, I mean, I always thought I liked that Monopoly game. And you always wondered, why did it suddenly stop? And I guess this is probably the reason why they stopped doing it.
Well, here's my disclosure. When I was at university and college, I actually worked for McDonald's. So
you and lots of other people, yes.
Yeah. So this sparked my interest straight away. I obviously do remember the Monopoly game. I think it still runs in the UK. I'm sure there was a government minister who had a problem with it a couple of years ago and asked them to stop it. But I read somewhere that they obviously had stopped it during the coronavirus, but they'll bring it back in the future. But I was fascinated by the documentary. I am halfway through episode two, so not much further ahead than you, Dave. The only thing that frustrates me is I think it could be a bit quicker. There are a lot of filler shots. Because they haven't got much footage and they're using actors to sort of fill in some of the gaps, there are some bits that quite frustrate me, because I'm like, just get to the point. We don't need to see a dramatization that bit. I just want to know who was this and who was this. But oh no, I will be definitely sort of getting my way through that. I'm probably going to aim for like an episode a night every week, because it's you know, it's 60 minutes. It's quite an intense documentary. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I want to get to the bottom of it myself.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see where it ends up, because it does feel like by the end of the first episode, you sort of feel like they know who one of the major bad guys is in the kind of whole setup. So you kind of think, how are they stretching this out for six episodes? So I'm very interested to see where it goes. But I've only watched the first one at the moment. I am going to go back and watch the rest of it. I really, really like that first episode. I think it's a fascinating story. But that's on Now TV and on the Sky Documentaries channel. And you can get it all on demand immediately as well. So I'm not going to wait for it to come out weekly. But that's a really fascinating one. And that's called McMillions, if you want to go and check that out. So that's all the stuff we've been watching this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news. So we start off the TV and film news with the renewals, cancellations and pickups, although we actually don't have any cancellations so far this week, which is kind of good, I guess. There's a few renewals. One of them sort of renewal slash pickup, because it's American Horror Stories, which we mentioned a few weeks ago. American Horror Stories is a new series from Ryan Murphy and the team behind American Horror Story. American Horror Story, of course, being an anthology series. This is also an anthology series, but it's an episodic anthology series. So the stories will change from episode to episode. episode rather than being one overarching story that changes from season to season. That's the idea. But other than that, it's basically the same kind of cast and the same premise. That's the idea. Part of the reason that they are doing this is because the 10th season of American Horror Story has been pushed back until 2021 because they can't film it until the next year. That's pretty much the reason why. So they were talking about doing something in the intervening time, and they weren't sure whether that was going to be moving one of the ideas that maybe they had for season 11 or 12 and moving that up so they could do it for season 10. Rather than do that, they've decided to do this new version of it, which is going to be American Horror Story. So it's going to be a bunch of different ideas that they're going to put together as a series. And then they're going to go back to shooting American Horror Story next year as well. He has been tweeting out a few photos of sort of giving hints. We don't know exactly what the next season of American Horror Story is going to be, other than it involves a beach somehow. And he's been tweeting out photos of a beach sort of abandoned. So we'll have to wait and see exactly what it is. But that's been part of the reason why they can't film it. They need to film it in summer, and they're not going to be able to film it all this summer. So I think it's probably going to get filmed next summer and come out next autumn. We'll have to see what they come up with American Horror Stories. But that is on the way. FX also renewed It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and Better Things as well for respective new seasons. Always Sunny, it means that that's now the longest running comedy currently on air on US TV, I think. So that's...
I've never seen it.
I've seen a few episodes of it. It is very, very funny. It's a very specific kind of comedy, but very enjoyable. It's
well Danny DeVito one, isn't it?
That's got Danny DeVito in it, yes. Well worth watching, though. It is very funny. And the other little bit of news, Tom Ellis has apparently closed his deal for a potential sixth season of Lucifer. At the moment, Netflix hasn't officially renewed it for a sixth season, and part of the reason that they haven't renewed it yet is because Tom had some issues with the contract for the sixth season, and there's been some ups and downs with that negotiation. He has apparently finally agreed with that. All the rest of the cast are signed on for a sixth season. Netflix hasn't officially renewed it yet, but it is looking like, despite the fact that they said season 5 was going to be the final season, it looks like they are going to be making a sixth season as well. Season 5 is quite long as well. It's split into two halves, so it's like 20 odd episodes or something. So you're going to get a lot of season 5 and a sixth season, by the looks of things, although that's not officially confirmed as yet. More Lucifer, I'm always happy about, because I love that show. It's really good. Moving on to pickups, because as I say, we haven't got any cancellations. Morfor has picked up seasons 1 of 2 of the Canadian drama Coroner, which ran on Universal. They're obviously rerunning season 1 first. They will be running season 2 as well, which hasn't aired over here. We don't know whether Sky still has the pay rights to it, because they're the people that were in control of Universal, and Sky are also rerunning the first season on Sky Witness right now as well. So
it's so confusing sometimes, isn't it, when you see programs like this that are split across different platforms. So I discovered today that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. have got one season on Amazon,
right,
and then another set of seasons on Disney Plus, and it's sort of like they're so complicated how they sell different seasons to different broadcasters, and their rights overlap like this.
Yes, yeah. I mean, you know, that's how we ended up this ridiculous Batwoman situation as well, of course, on E4, which I should just mention, seeing as we're talking about shows going all over the place. The reason that E4 gave for removing the Crisis episode and moving it to the end of the run was so it doesn't interfere with the current plotline. Now, if you've watched past where the Crisis episode should be, there are major plot points in the next couple of episodes that relate directly to what happened in Crisis. So it really makes zero sense at this point to have removed that episode out of the main run. I mean, they've mishandled that so badly, and the best thing they could do for a second season is just not pick it up unless Sky have it, in my opinion, but we'll have to wait and see what happens with it. Another pickup over on the BBC, they've picked up the Danish thriller DNA, which is from the Killing co-creators. So if you like your Scandinavian thriller drama things, then that will be one to look out for. We don't have a date for that yet, but they've picked it up. And Apple TV have ordered a new series of Fraggle Rock as well, which I'm very happy about.
Oh dear.
They ran some little mini episodes of it called Fraggle Rock Rock On, which featured the Fraggles. It was all recorded on iPhones, and it was the Fraggles all socially distanced, but like doing songs together. They were kind of in different areas of the cave, so they shot it all on kind of green screens with the puppeteers doing it from their own houses and stuff. But they are now going to be doing a full season of the full-blown Fraggle Rock. They have announced that that is coming back. Did you watch Fraggle Rock when you were a kid?
Yeah, I remember I watched it when I was younger, and my older sisters had some rude variations of the theme tune that I picked up when I was younger as well. I don't know if it would be what I want to go back and watch. I think I was more of a Muppets man than Fraggle Rock. So I don't know.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, Fraggles are sort of an offshoot of Muppets, but that's why it's on Apple TV and not Disney. Because they aren't directly related to the Muppets. So yes, it's still Jim Henson's guys behind it, though. But I am looking forward to that. I will be interested to see what they do with it. Moving on to bigger news stories, and we have a couple of bits of film news this week, so good job you're on.
Hey.
Doctor Strange director Scott Derrickson is set to direct a sequel to Jim Henson's classic The Labyrinth. Thoughts?
Well, I obviously was very sad to hear that Scott was going to not be doing the sequel to Doctor Strange anymore.
Yes. Even though
he started on it. However, with his sort of style, I can believe this would be quite good. Mm. However, we're going to see a lot of comparisons to David Bowie. And obviously with him not being there, I think it's going to be a really big shoes to fill in terms of like that character. I think it'll be good, but I can just see a bit of a resistance around the release time. Just hope that he can pull it off, basically.
Yeah, I believe that they aren't going to recast Jareth the Goblin King, which was the character that David Bowie played. I believe that there's going to be somebody else in there, but it will be a different character. So I think they've taken the point of view that nobody can replace David Bowie, which of course they can't. You know. No. So I think that is probably quite sensible. It may be that there is a new Goblin King, but that it won't be Jareth. It will be somebody else. I believe that's what they're planning on doing. So we'll have to see whether Jennifer Connelly returns. We don't know really anything about it at the moment. Of course, the original movie starred a very young Jennifer Connelly as Sarah, who was a teenager with an active imagination, who was very frustrated at stuck being babysitting, and she wishes the goblins from her favourite fantasy book, The Labyrinth, take her baby half-brother away, and then the kid actually disappears. So she ends up following him into this fantasy world, trying to get him back from the goblins. The original film is a classic. It's a very dangerous thing to go and take over. It has got the Henson Company behind it. It's Brian Henson, who is some of Jim Henson and the company chairman, and was puppeteer of Hoggle in the original film, and Lisa Henson, who is the daughter and CEO of Jim Henson Company, is producing it. Derrickson is set to direct as well. So I mean, I think he's a good choice. It's going to be an interesting one. Maggie Levin, who is previously written on the Hulu series Into the Dark, but I mean, didn't have that many writing credits behind her, but clearly they see something in her. She said on Twitter, "It's a dream come true is a massive understatement, but that's truly what it is. And now back to work." So yes, she's going to be writing it. It's going to be interesting. He's an interesting choice for director. I am sad that he isn't doing the next Doctor Strange movie, but I think it's a good pick for an interesting director for this. There are people that are going to be just upset because they're making a sequel to Labyrinth, which I mean, I entirely understand as well. But
It's got some of that classic feel, the classic puppetry and the style. They've just got to translate that in a really positive way to the modern cinema. I think if you make it too clean and, you know, CGI, people aren't going to like it. But then if you make it too puppet based and they're a bit clunky, people are going to be like, oh, it looks too tacky. There's a fine line, but we'll see. We'll see how it comes out. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of fans going to see it anyway.
Yeah. And I mean, they did a really good job with The Dark Crystal, which also had a lot of the similar problems in that it was a classic original movie and it involved puppets. And they did a very good job in how they handled the styling of that. So if they can recreate what they did with Dark Crystal on the TV series and translate that sort of style and feel and that love for it over into something like Labyrinth, I think they'll be good. So we'll have to wait and see. Apple TV Plus has ordered a new series based around Hedy Lamarr, and it's going to be produced by and starring Gal Gadot. Hedy Lamarr might not be a name that you recognise. If you saw, there was an episode of Timeless that they actually did around Hedy Lamarr. She was hailed as the most beautiful woman in the world. She was exalted, iconicized, and then destroyed and eventually forgotten by American audiences. But as well as being a film star, was an incredibly brilliant scientist and had a series of inventions and breakthroughs which became the basis for spectrum technology, which we used everywhere today. I think Bluetooth and stuff is involved in that. So amazing woman and really interesting person, I think, to be able to do a series about. It follows her incredible life from the Hollywood glamour girl spanning 30 years, from Hedy's daring escape from pre-war Vienna to her meteoric rise in the golden age of Hollywood to her fall and eventual disgrace at the dawn of the Cold War. It's an epic tale of an immigrant woman, both ahead of her time and very much a victim to it. I think this sounds like it could be a really, really fascinating limited series. It's an 8-episode historical drama. Gal Gadot, of course, played Wonder Woman, is going to be the person starring in the lead role. It comes from Jaron Vasano, who did My Dearest Fidel, partnering with Emmy and BAFTA Award winner Lauren Littlefield, who was involved with The Handmaid's Tale, and Golden Globe Award winner Sarah Trem, who was involved in House of Cards, In Treatment and The Affair, and she's the creator of the series. So I really like the sound of this. I think it could be really interesting.
I'm 6 episodes into Hollywood at the moment, and I'm quite sort of transfixed with some of this. Going back to my time as a teacher, I had to teach like some of the traditional Hollywood around the golden age and so it does fascinate me. If it's done well and it's not too slow in pace, then I will probably watch it. And I like Gal Gadot anyway. I think she's really good.
Yeah, I think she's great. And I just think it's a really interesting character that I don't think has been explored all that much. I think there's a lot you could do with the series based around her. So I'm very, very intrigued to see what they do with that. Moving over off streaming and onto normal TV, Greg Berlanti is to adapt a series of the Forbidden Game novels from the Vampire Diaries author L.J. Smith. So Greg Berlanti, obviously the person behind, well, half the TV on the CW at this point. It's his production company that are set to be the people behind the adaptation. The young adult horror novels The Forbidden Game follows 17-year-old Jenny Thornton, who is searching for a game for her boyfriend Tom's birthday. Entering the Moore Game Store, she finds herself inexplicably drawn to Julian, who is the gorgeous cyberpunk with electric blue eyes and frost white hair behind the counter. He hands her an unmarked and undecorated game, which she then takes home to play with her friends at the party that evening. But when Jenny and her 6 friends begin to play the game at Tom's birthday celebration, a night of friends and fun quickly turned into a night of terror and obsessive love. Because the game isn't just a game, it's the 7 friends' new reality, where Julian reigns the Prince of Shadows. One by one, the friends must confront their phobias to win the game. To lose the game is to lose their lives, and this is only just the beginning. I mean, it sounds like a really interesting setup. Of course, L.J. Smith is the person that wrote The Vampire Diaries, the original book, also wrote The Secret Circle, both of which have been turned into TV series. Vampire Diaries ran for 8 seasons, Secret Circle only ran for 1. So I think they're hoping this is going to be more the former rather than the latter.
Listening to it, it sounds a bit like a cross between Jumanji.
Yes.
And Are You Afraid of the Dark? Sort of like this, sort of like a crossover. Mm. I'm seeing it as like two mini series. I don't know if I'm seeing it as a full series at the moment in my head. That's just me thinking about it. How are they going to make it into a full series? You know, but Berlanti's talented. I mean, has he got time?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Berlanti Productions, obviously Greg Berlanti is producer on all of the things that Berlanti Production does. But I mean, the amount of shows they've got going at the moment, I mean, the entire Arrowverse, Titans, Doom Patrol, Stargirl, You, Blindspot, Riverdale, Sabrina, Katie Keene, All American and Prodigal Son. And that's the stuff they've got on air right now. You've then got the new Superman and Lois series, that Kung Fu remake that we've been talking about, The Flight Attendant, which is a new series with Kaley Cuoco in the lead role, the Green Lantern series, which they're doing for HBO Max as well. And there's also that potential Green Arrow and Canary series, which we're still waiting to hear about whether they pick that up or not. So they're not short of things to do, and they've now added this on to it. Berlanti Productions have gone from like nowhere in 10 years ago to just one of the biggest controllers of TV shows in the US now.
Yeah, they're, what they've done for sort of like the youth target, obviously they targeted it at that point, the young cast and things like that, is phenomenal. And the CW continuously adding him renewals is good on him. It'll probably work, it's Berlanti, but my head, even when you're reading out the plot, I can't see it being a huge running series, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's something I don't realise, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know enough about the book to be able to say see how you could spring that out into a long-running series, unless they can jump in and out of reality in some way, because if they're sort of trapped in this sort of thing and it says, you know, they must confront their phobias or they die, you're either going to have a big turnover of cast or I don't know. I'd be interested to see how they approach it anyway. They haven't got a writer, I don't think, set for it right now. All we know is Berlanti is producing it, and I mean, some of those Berlanti shows have been a bit hit and miss. I mean, Sabrina's great if a little bit out there. You know, I enjoy Doom Patrol, I enjoy Titan, Stargirl seems to be going down well. Arrowverse can be a bit hit and miss depending which seasons you're on. You has been great though. Blindspot I really enjoy. Riverdale I definitely walked away from because it got so ridiculous. So I mean, I don't know, we'll see, we'll see how it goes, but yeah, depends who they find to write it, but it'd be one to look out for. It's called The Forbidden Game at the moment, or it's based on the Forbidden Game novels, so that's presumably going to be the title of it. And lastly, we have Doug Liman has been announced as the director of a new movie with Tom Cruise, and it's going to be filmed in space.
Of course.
Actual space. Not like in the Vomit Comet, or it's actually going to be filmed in space. They have got SpaceX involved, they have got NASA involved. And I mean, if anybody could pull this off, it's Tom Cruise, probably. But, you know, when I wrote it, I was like, I know this sounds like a headline from The Onion, but no, Tom Cruise is making a movie in space. Doug Liman was the director on Edge of Tomorrow, and they worked together on American Made as well. Both of them have a little bit of sort of daredevil in them. They're both pilots. Of course, I mean, Cruise is well known for his ridiculous stunt work. You know, you've got like him climbing the massive tower in Ghost Protocol. There was hanging off a plane in Rogue Nation, the Halo jump that he did for Fallout. And he does all this stuff himself. So, I mean, why not? If you're going they apparently, we don't know anything about the film, what it's going to be based around, what it exactly going to be. It apparently is going to be filmed aboard the International Space Station. That is the plan. Beyond that, we don't know.
He'll be approaching 70 by the time this gets filmed.
Well, quite possibly. I mean, they are a lot of hoops that they've obviously got to jump through to get to this point, because everybody essentially has to be trained to be an astronaut to a certain extent. You know, they certainly have to go through all the checks to make sure that they are going to be safe to fly. But I mean, they are not going to be full-blown astronauts. They are going to have to go up as passengers, and they are essentially going to be tourist passengers, but they still have to go through and make sure that they are fit enough to be able to go up and do it, along with all the crew that are involved in it. I mean, not just Liman and Cruise. It's going to be presumably a relatively small small crew, but it is going to be a crew that's going up with them as well to be able to shoot the thing. So they also have to be up for being shot into space as well. So, I mean, who knows when it'll actually happen, but they have been talking about it for a while. I mean, this isn't the first time he's mentioned filming in space, but they have now got a director involved with it. And we'll have to see where it goes. And of course, they announced this on the same day that the SpaceX NASA Falcon launch was supposed to happen and then didn't, and then got delayed until the Saturday because it was on the Friday, Thursday or Friday, when it was supposed to go up originally, and they had to scrub the launch due to the weather. Yeah, they tied it in with the launch, which was a nice bit of promotion. But we'll have to wait and see whether it moves further any forward. But they at least have a director involved now.
Yeah, so creative out there.
yes. That's one way to escape the coronavirus anyway. So that's all the news we've got for this week. Let's move on to some highlights for next week on TV. So next week on TV, we have a few shows starting back up and a few new shows incoming. Cardinal Season 4, that is landing on BBC Two. No, it's not BBC Four, it's BBC Two. That's on the 3rd of June at 9 p.m. That arrives. We've got the Alex Rider series, which we've been talking about forever and now finally got home. That's coming to Amazon Prime on the 4th of June. I'm very much looking forward to seeing that in full and seeing how that is, because we've seen bits and pieces of it at Comic Cons and stuff, and there's loads of information about that up on the website. We have How to Get Away with Murder Season 6, which looking forward to that. That's the final season. That's coming to Sky Witness on the 4th of June at 10 p.m. That arrives. Then we've got This Is Us Season 4 of that comes to Amazon Prime on the 5th of June. So that's come around quite quick because they only put the third up on Christmas Day, I believe it was. It was a weird release date for that. So I've got to get through the rest of the third season for that. But I do really enjoy that show. It is worth looking. So that's coming to Amazon Prime on the 5th of June. Then we have Queer Eye, which is back for a fifth season. That's on the 5th of June as well on Netflix. And 13 Reasons Why, also coming on the 5th of June. That's the fourth and final season of that coming to Netflix as well. I kind of dropped off that after the first season.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, but I know Matt is still watching it, so that's one to look out for. And Das Boot, the second season of that, comes to Sky Atlantic on the 9th of June at 9 p.m. And Betty, which is a new show coming to Sky Comedy, a diverse group of young women navigate their lives through the male-dominated world of skateboarding in New York City. That one is. And that's on the 9th of June at 9:30 p.m. coming to Sky Comedy. That's called Betty. So that's everything we have for you this week. Anything else you want to add?
No, I'm looking forward to How to Get Away with Murder, Queer Eye and Betty from that list. So there are things to be added to my list. No, you come and follow me at Grey the Geek if anyone wants to have a chat with me about anything I've talked about today or my appearances on the recent podcast with Matt.
Yes. And if you want to find any more of those podcasts with Matt, you can, of course, go over to entertainmenttalk.org and get lots and lots of weekly podcasts, although he is on a break at the moment, I think, but he's on a break for a couple of weeks. But there are still loads and loads of podcasts over there, which you can go and download and listen to, as well as ours. If you want entertaining throughout the week, you can go and find Bex over on her Twitch stream, which is twitch.tv/TristaBytes with a Y. And that's streaming pretty much every Monday to Wednesday at 1 p.m. and 8 p.m. and also various other evenings as well. So go on to there, find Bex on Twitch and subscribe. And for us, of course, you can go to geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at geektownuk. Stay safe, everybody. Make sure you keep washing your hands. Stay 2 meters away from everybody else. Phone your elderly relatives and make sure they're okay and they don't need anything. Look after yourselves, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.